Hello everyone and welcome to the Microsoft MVP Virtual Conference. My name's Justin Harris and I'm a Senior Solutions Architect for Binary Tree and also an Exchange MVP and Exchange Microsoft Certified Solutions Master in Exchange. I'm going to be the moderator for this session today around the introduction to Microsoft Enterprise Mobility Suite. I'm going to hand this session over to Jason.
Thank you, Justin. My name is Jason Milgram, and I'm a Microsoft Azure MVP, and I'll be introducing you to Microsoft's Enterprise Mobility Suite, also known as Bring Your Own Device. So I'm going to go ahead and take over as presenter. And Justin, can you let me know when everyone can see my screen? Okay, excellent. All right, so let's get started. All right, so to start things off, the first question we want to ask is, why is mobile so important? And I'm going to show you some statistics, and I'm not going to read them through to you because I think everyone knows, you know, everyone has a mobile device, whether it's a phone or a tablet. We're all carrying around computers in our pockets. And it's both in the consumer world and in the business world. And that introduces a lot of opportunity for companies. But it also introduces a lot of challenges for how to support all these devices being brought into the organization and how to deal with company apps, company data, and company policies. So I'm going to be talking about Enterprise Mobility Suite. And the first thing I want to point out is that EMS is not actually a product in and of itself. It's a combination of three different products. It's put together as a package. It consists of Microsoft Azure AD Premium, Microsoft Intune, and Microsoft Azure Rights Management. And it's also a pricing package. You can buy these solutions, these services separately, but if you buy them all combined under an EMS license, you get a substantial savings. Now, this next slide I'm going to show you is pretty much the most important slide of the entire presentation. And let me just check right there. I want to make sure everyone can see my screen. Okay, it looks like we just had a technical difficulty there. All right, so I'm not going to go back through these statistics. Actually, you know what? Let's go back and show those because they are fun. All right, so I'm not going to read through these, but we all know that everyone's walking around with tablets and smartphones, and it introduces a lot of opportunity and also challenges for businesses who want to be able to take advantage of these computers everyone's walking around with. And EMS, as I said earlier, it's not a product in and of itself. It's actually composed of three different products. But if you buy them under the EMS license, you get a substantial savings. So we're going to be looking at Azure Active Directory Premium, Microsoft Intune, and Azure Rights Management. And this next slide, I think, is like the most important slide to present what EMS is and what it does for you. There's lots of other things, but at a very high level, someone has a computer, and this can be a smartphone, a tablet, a Surface, it doesn't matter. And they have their own personal apps and data on it. What EMS allows you to do is enroll the company apps, company data, in a secure partition. So companies can feel secure and safe and allowing individuals to have company apps, company data on their devices and not be fearful that confidential information will get exposed. So one concern is what happens when a device is lost or stolen. And in that case, a remote wipe of the entire device can happen with authorization from the owner of the device. That's one scenario. The other scenario is what happens when a person retires. Not sure how many people actually retire these days, but someone leaves the company for a new and better job. It's their device, so the company is simply able to remove that secure partition with the company apps and company data. And what's very exciting about EMS, it also has policies applied to it on what people can and can't do with company files, company emails, and things like that. And we're going to dive into all that. So security is probably at the forefront of EMS. Now, the benefits of allowing individuals to use devices of any type securely when working with our company is now they can, you know, work from wherever, whenever. They can work on the platform of their choice. All right, so EMS, again, it's Azure Active Directory Premium. It's Intune and Azure Rights Management. So under the Azure Active Directory side, I also want to point out multi-factor authentication, which is very an exciting piece, and we'll talk go into a little more detail in just a little bit. Multi-factor authentication has to do with adding an extra layer of authentication beyond just a username and password. Most people are familiar with this when they go to a bank site and they text you a code and you have to type it in after you've put in your username and password. The other sign is that you can actually add real-time monitoring and alerts. Some people call this proximity alerts. So if you log in one location, then 5 minutes later or 10 minutes, someone logs in as you and they're 500 miles away or 5,000 miles away, that can immediately set off an alert and start things in motion for when that happens. Now that third leg of EMS is also Azure Rights Management, and we'll talk about that a little bit more. But basically, it's the tool that allows companies to feel safe and secure in allowing confidential data to be stored and sent to not only employees, but also to business partners and customers. And we'll cover how that works. All right, so again, EMS, Azure Active Directory Premium, Intune, and Azure Rights Management. Let's talk a little bit on the Active Directory side. So Azure Active Directory, it's a comprehensive identity and management access solution. I mean, I think most people on the call are familiar with Active Directory. So Azure Active Directory is simply Active Directory in the cloud, where there's much less for you to manage and worry about. It's there for you to consume as a service. And you can do it to do not only tie it into your on-premise Active Directory through federation, but you can also have it linked for single sign-on to over 1,000 different software as a service solutions, such as Salesforce or Dropbox and things like that. And you can use it to not only protect sensitive data and applications in your own proprietary apps that you've built, but that also gets extended to Office 365. And one of the benefits, too, is you can also enable self-password resets, but you can also do what they call a self-service group management, where you can create group owners, and those people are allowed to deal with access issues for individuals who want to be added to a group. So that can alleviate the time it takes for a central authority to give someone access to a group that you're a manager of. And these are just some examples of some of the software as a service apps that you can get single sign-on to through Azure Active Directory. Now, one area, rather than focusing a lot on Azure Active Directory, I just want to focus, I'm going to spend some time on the multi-factor authentication. And the reason is because security is, it's paramount. And one significant benefit that you can take advantage of is with your global admin accounts for Office 365 and Azure, you can actually enable multi-factor authentication at no cost. So there's no reason for you not to start using this. And If the only thing separating access to your sensitive data is a username and password, it makes sense to add that one extra step to prevent unauthorized people from getting access to your data. And you know, this is so important because the nature of the threats have been increasing. It's not just organized crimes, it's nation states, and it's not always that they're after you. They could be after companies whose accounts you are servicing. So I'm not going to read through these bullets. We'll just we'll talk about some of them. But I want to give you an example of how multi-factor authentication works. And again, most people are familiar with, they log into their bank and their bank sends you a text and you type that text in. And that's the text message example. But there's also two other ways you can use multi-factor authentication through Azure. There's an official mobile app that you can use where you'll be prompted in it and you can press on a button to then proceed with the authentication. You can also have phone calls made to you where it's either computer voice or you can actually have your own recording. And most people do text messages because that's what they're familiar with. But if you do a lot of this, I think you'll find that the mobile app is much more convenient, so you don't have to transpose a text message and type it into your into the interface. So we have mobile apps, we have phone calls, and we have text messages. Now I'm just going to show you an example. When it's integrated with Office 365, you type in your normal username and password. And then while it's authenticating, it's going to call you on the phone if you're using the phone call option. And I'm going to play this and hopefully you can hear it. So I'm not sure if you heard that, but that was the phone ringing. And this is if you don't have your own computer voice file added, this is what you would hear. All right, so I'm not sure if you heard that, but that was the default voice. It was telling you to press the pound key to essentially continue with the authentication. And once you click on that, you're logged into Office. Now, I'm going to just show you a couple slides on the architecture so you have an idea of how it works. First, the user signs in, and then from any device, and again, we're talking about iOS, Android, Windows, all form factors. This can be hosted apps. These can be proprietary apps that you've built because there are SDKs available that you can use to integrate with multi-factor authentication. But you put in your device, and this part is important because if you're running this with on-premise apps that you've written yourself, you can actually bring part of the solution and run it in your own data center. And I'm pointing this out because part of the solution can run in your data center, but there's still an Azure cloud service that you'll have to connect to. So essentially, the multi-factor authentication server running on site that you've installed intercepts the authentication requests. It first checks that the username and password are correct against the user directory. And if they are correct, then it's sent to the Azure cloud service. And this Azure Cloud Service is what handles that second factor of authentication, whether it's text, voice, or a mobile app. And the reason I want to stress this is if you do want to run this on-premise, you can, but the piece that then goes out to your mobile device, the phone call or the text or the mobile app, that part is still connected in the Azure Cloud. Now, there are a number of ways to configure the service to secure cloud apps. And first, the on-premise multi-factor authentication server can be used with Active Directory Federation services, or you can use it with any identity provider for single sign-on to cloud applications. And for apps that use Windows Azure Active Directory, the directory can actually call the multi-factor authentication cloud service directly. And as I mentioned earlier, developers can actually build the MFA into their custom apps using the software development kits. I'm not going to spend too much time on this, but I want to show you how quickly, and this is one of the great things about Azure and EMS, is these are all services that are running in the cloud for you to consume. So this is what it takes to set up your multi-factor authentication provider. Log into your Azure portal, go to Active Directory, and then go to the multi-factor auth providers, and click on create new, and you can create a new multi-factor auth provider from there. You put in just a little bit of information. You can use the quick create, you give a name, and then you choose the billing model. Now, if you're doing this by itself, you can either do it on a per enabled user basis or per authentication. And you choose whether or not to link to your Azure Active Directory tenant or not. And then it's done, it's created. Now, of course, there's some more steps. You'd click into that. If you're going to run that on premise, it will give you your secret keys and you can download it from there and install it. But it's very easy to do. And for those of you with global admin accounts, there's really no reason you shouldn't be doing this now. Because again, if the only thing standing between sensitive data and sensitive operations is just username and password, you might as well add that extra step. All right, so I'm actually going to move on to Azure Rights Management, which I feel is actually not talked about enough because it really is, you know, I think a very exciting technology. So all of these together make up a wonderful solution. But I'm particularly a big fan of the rights management. So the challenge is we have users all over the place. They're not all on-premise in a single location. You have all kinds of different devices. There's all kinds of different apps, company apps and third-party apps that people are using. And there's data flowing everywhere. And there's lots of challenges. And companies are getting very worried about where is all that data being sent and who can access what. And, you know, everything's kind of getting mixed up as far as access and where data is stored. Things are being put in Dropbox on third-party cloud services. All right, so with Azure Rights Management, you know, the traditional security controls that we had before, such as access control lists and NTFS permissions and firewalls, they only are able to protect or provide a certain amount of protection. And that's where Azure RMS comes into play, where you're actually able to protect the company's sensitive information in all kinds of different scenarios. It uses encryption. It uses identity management and authorization policies to help secure the files and email, and it can work across multiple devices. So again, whether it's a phone or tablet or PC, and information can be protected from both within the organization, so the idea of the internal threat, and sometimes these aren't threats. These are just mistakes. People accidentally send it to the wrong person with the type ahead and the email addresses. It happens. It also protects from outside of the organization because the protection that's put in place remains with the data even when it leaves the organization's boundaries. So, you know, example there is an employee might email a document to a partner company or they save a document to their cloud drive. The what we'll call the persistent protection that Azure RMS provides not only helps to secure your company data, but it also might be legally mandated for compliance as well as legal discovery requirements, or simply just kind of good information management practices. Now I'm kind of going to go through these quickly, just so for those of you who had looked at rights management in the past, now the solution works on any file type. So if there's a specific file type it does not natively support, it actually creates a generic protection over that file. And as I mentioned earlier, the protection actually stays with the file itself, even if it's copied and sent to any other people. And it supports Office 365, and as I said earlier, it actually does a file encapsulation for anything that it doesn't natively directly support. And I just want to highlight there, because in several generations previously, it was specific file types. Now, if it's not one that's natively supported, it will do a generic file encapsulation. Now, I have to apologize. When I created this slide, I didn't realize I had cut off a good chunk of the text there. So what I was trying to show here was all of the Microsoft Office file types. Those are on the left. I'm sorry, on the right. Those are all supported natively, and that list, of course, goes down past P. And then everything I have on the right are kind of just generic types. Of, from text files to various image files. So those are all supported. And what's really cool about this is that, it's not just emails. It's not just the files themselves. It also can be emails. And the protection is enabled when things are forwarded to other people. And we'll actually, I'll show you that in just a moment. You can also have auditing and monitoring. So if you work, for example, at a company called Acme, and you're working on a joint project with three people from another company, and you email those three people a document that you protected with read-only access, these are kind of three different things that RMS can do for you. So one is you can be notified when those people open the document, the date and time they actually open it. And you can also be notified when other people who you didn't specify attempted to open it and failed, of course. And it could be perhaps because it was forwarded or saved to a shared location. I mean, sometimes these breaches happen simply by accident. Now, you can also be notified when any other people who tried and failed try to print or change the document. For instance, right now in this example, we are only sending it out for read-only. So controlling printing and changing are just some of the ways, restrictions you can put on it. And we'll actually look at all those. Now, again, this works on all Windows computers as well as Mac, iOS, and Android. And it's fully integrated with Office 365. So Office 365, that includes SharePoint Online, Exchange Online. Now, you can also tie it into on-premise Exchange Server, on-premise SharePoint Server. And one of my favorites is the Windows Server. So Windows Server running file classification infrastructure simply means, let's look at Windows Server 2012. You can have rights of policies applied to files whenever they're dropped in folders. And you have some powerful tools around the rules for that. And again, as a cloud service running in Azure, one of the great things you have is there's no hardware you had to set up, no special servers you had to install and configure. These are services that you're consuming, and it can scale as needed. And there's all kinds of policies, and we'll look at those in just a moment. And as I mentioned earlier, there's also an SDK, so you can integrate. Not only earlier we're looking at multi-factor authentication, but there's an SDK for Azure Rights Management, so you can build these types of protections into your own proprietary apps. Now, one thing it's been a discussion, depending on with a lot of companies is, what about my bring your own key, where people want to hold on to the encryption keys and not have those keys actually reside in Azure? And the answer is yes, you can do that as long as you have one of the supported HSMs, the hardware security modules. And their support, again, we looked at it for the kind of the auditing and usage. And something that's important, and when you're planning Azure Rights Management, the thing is that it doesn't take too long to learn it, but it's one of those kind of living beasts that you might roll it out, and you might have like 4 generic policies, and a couple months later you create 6, and then later there's 12, and then later you try to reduce those back again. Things change the more that you get used to the control options and the security options that rights management gives you. One important thing is to make sure you have a super user feature enabled, because what you don't want is employee creating a bunch of encrypted files and then leaving the organization and no one being able to access that. And then, again, I'm not going to read this whole slide. I do want to point out that you do have the option of you can stop using Azure Rights Management and you can deactivate the tenant and migrate the solution to on-premise. There's a procedure to do that. And you can also do it in reverse, because there are previous solutions. There's the Active Directory Rights Management Services as well. Now, if you go to the Microsoft Trust Center, you can read all about the compliance and a lot of security white papers and PDFs. But it's fully compliant with the EU Model Clause, as well as other compliance requirements. Okay, so a little detail now on Azure Rights Management. This is creating, how do you create a policy through Azure Active Directory? You simply go in, you add a new policy, give it a name, give it a description, choose the language that it's in. And by default, you can pick between these roles, the viewer, reviewer, co-author, co-owner, or custom. Now, if you click on custom, if you click on the question mark, you'll see what those entail. If you go to custom, then you can see all the different options. And this is what's, I think, very impressive and comforting to businesses who are very concerned about confidential data going to the wrong hands. These are all the different things that you can control, whether someone is allowed to view content, save it, print it, forward it, things like that. And these rules stay in effect when the files leave your organization and they're on other people's devices. Now, once you create that policy, you can open it, and under rights, you can choose users and groups that it apply to. So you can have a mix and match of the policies based on individual users and groups. And inside the group, inside the policy, there's additional controls that you have around content expiration and offline access. So here I have a screenshot where that's all zoomed in. And this deals with the issue of what happens when someone is using a document that's protected under rights management, but that document or that device that the document's on is offline, which is going to happen. There are many cases why a device will be offline. So the question is, what do you do? Now, all the compliance and requirements, the security policies around, are stored with that file, so the computer knows those. The question is, what do you want to do? And the options, you can say the content's only available when they have an internet connection, because the solution is going to go out and check access, because access rights and configurations can change. You can create a policy and then change it later, and that's fine. You can say the content is always available, or what a lot of people do is the third option, the number of the days that the content is available without an internet connection. So we know the rules are all still in effect, but that's since it was last updated. Rules can change. Access can change. So you can say this content will be available for X number of days without an internet connection, and then not available anymore until a connection is reestablished and the rules can be updated. You can also have the content just expire. And depending on the type of organization you work for, sometimes this is very important. You need all the documents sent to expire on a certain date, and that's one of the other features that you have. Very cool stuff. Now, we've talked all about kind of automatic application of policies, but you can also individuals can manually choose policies to apply to the documents as well as emails that they're sending. So this is an example of someone doing that with a Word document, manually applying a policy. So there's automatic coverage, and then there's manual coverage. I'll just run through this quickly. So you can automatically have files protected when they're dropped in folders on servers. And let's look at that. This is using the RMS connector. When files are dropped in a folder, you can set up a variety of, the scope, classifications, the actions, notifications. We don't have time to go into all of those, but you can say this will apply to application files, to archival files, group files, user files, you know, just these or all of these. You can say what happens, what policies get applied. You can have criteria that classify the documents a certain way, so you can actually check contents of files. And under schedule, you can actually set it up where a policy is automatically applied as soon as the file is dropped in that folder. You can also have a schedule where the system goes through all the files and applies the policies. Now, notifications is actually pretty flexible because you can be notified if someone who's not supposed to access something tried to access it. And you may want to know that because there could be nefarious reasons, but the other could be that someone legitimately needs access to that content. And in those notifications, you can choose to have responses automatically sent saying, this is what you need to do to get access to this. Because again, there are times when you are supposed to have access to something and you don't. You can then set up the process for how they can get access to the content that they need. All right, and when people receive outside the organization of attachments that they don't have access to, again, you can set up what happens next. And what the rules are and workflow for that. So that was with Windows servers. You can also have rules automatically or policies automatically applied with Exchange Online. And I just have a couple screenshots from that. For those of you who worked with Exchange, this should look very familiar. So you can have policies applied when emails are leaving the organization. You can set up the rules and the matches and all those great things. And, one of the things that are built in is checking for personally identifiable information, or PII. There's rules that kind of automatically figure that out for you. It will detect if something looks like a social security number or a bank account number or passport number. A number of those rules have already pre-created that you can choose to turn on. And when, if someone doesn't have access or doesn't know who someone is, it actually, can encrypt not only the attachment, but the whole message itself. And you can have rules automatically applied when someone is using SharePoint online. So you enable it in SharePoint online to turn on the information rights management. And again, you come back, it comes down to policies, which policies to apply. And when people drop in documents into lists or libraries, you can have those automatically applied. And no matter what file, when someone receives a document that is under protection, they will actually be shown in the document what is currently restricted and what permissions they do or do not have. So the idea is not to hide the access where someone then does something they didn't realize they weren't supposed to. It will let them know that, you know, these are the things that you're allowed to do. And just an example of, you know, sharing attachments with a mobile user. So here someone's creating a document, they're sending it to someone outside the organization. On the fly, they're choosing a set of users who can access this document. So sometimes things won't always be automatic. I mean, you might be out in the field, you need to create a proposal, and you say only these people can either, you can set, you know, view a reviewer, co-author, co-owner, and you can set that right then and there. So only those people you specify are going to be able to have access to that. And let's say you send this to someone and they're on their iPad, and you know what they'll see is this notice here. It says the sender has protected the attachments with Microsoft RMS. You must sign in to open them. So you've probably wondered, like, how is all this enforcement done? And people outside the organization have to install the RMS sharing app, which is what puts the constraints and controls on those documents. So once that person signs in and they do have the correct access, they'll be able to review the content of the document. And again, it's going to show them up here in the upper right, you know, specifically what they're allowed to do. In this case, they can view and edit that content. And this is just showing you, you can have a notices sent to you automatically, letting you know the people you designated, the date and time they actually opened the document, as well as getting alerts when people who are not designated or had tried and, of course, failed to open the document. So to kind of sum up on Azure Rights Management, because there are a lot of details, it's a cloud service. It works with all the popular platforms, Windows, Mac OS, iOS, Android, Windows Phone. You can combine this. It can be fully integrated or is fully integrated with Office 365. You can run it with your on-premise Exchange and SharePoint servers, as well as the online versions. You can connect it to your Windows file servers, and you can, it's of course integrated, can be integrated with on-premise Active Directory as well as Azure Active Directory. So back to those three areas, we have the Azure Active Directory Premium, which we talked about. We talked about Azure Rights Management. Now I'm going to talk about Intune. And again, this is my favorite slide. Company can create a secure partition with apps, data, and policies. Policies we've just been looking at, such as Azure Rights Management, but also a whole set of policies around the hardware devices themselves. And that, of course, allows you to do a full wipe if a device is lost or stolen. And if someone leaves the organization, just remove the company partition and leave all the users' personal apps and data alone. So Windows Intune, it's a standalone service that you can use to administer it's a web-based admin console. Now, you can integrate Windows Intune with System Center. And so that is one option available to you. And as we discussed earlier, it works on all the popular devices and operating systems. And it does a lot of cool things for you. It ties in the proactive monitoring and alerts that you get from Azure Active Directory Premium with the proximity alerts. You can use it to track and monitor licenses. It can automatically do the hardware inventorying and software inventorying. You can actually run reports that will let you know how many devices have been rooted or jailbroken. You can set policies in place where, you know, people are not going to be allowed to enroll their device if it has been rooted or jailbroken. And you can also create a company portal where you have required apps for the users that are pushed out, and you can also have a library of available apps that users can select from and automatically install themselves. So this is one of those tables where everything says yes. So the question is, well, why even create the table? But you know, the point is, you know, you don't lose functionality if you're using iOS or Android. You know, all of these features are supported across all of the platform types. Having this automatically collected and the level of detail that's collected is very useful. You can control all types of settings in devices, and you can limit the devices from enrolling based on which version of the platforms they have. This is a list of the different types of apps that you can push out across the operating systems. So this is very similar to if through GPO, if you are pushing apps to a desktop, you can now essentially do the same to mobile devices. And you can also use Intune for Windows PCs and devices as well. What you can't use it for right now are servers and Linux and Linux boxes in the current version. So kind of again, the idea of Microsoft Intune is that it's a cloud-based management solution for both computers and mobile devices that, you know, it helps you manage and secure companies' information assets regardless of the platform. So in the time remaining, we're going to quickly cover kind of the general capabilities, the MDM, the mobile device management capabilities, and we'll look at, there's two consoles we'll look at. There's the admin console and the management console. So with the managed mobile devices and computers, again, there's no servers or internet required. This is a service that you're consuming. You can require encryption of mobile devices and computers, and you can generate the hardware and software inventories and reports. And you can monitor both mobile devices and computers, so you can actually create alerts to notify you when there's a problem with a mobile device or a computer. And you can also have those alerts trigger email notifications so the right people get informed of the problem. So, you know, someone actually might have an update issue on their particular device. I mean, that's one of the great things about the product is you can have someone automatically notified that problem exists with that person's machine. Okay, I think I just got noticed that you can't see the slides right now. So let me see. All right, is my screen showing again? All right, so I'm just checking with the event manager and Justin, who's the moderator. So it looked like there was a quick a technical glitch. Okay, so you can see the slides. Excellent. All right. All right, so I'm not going to read through these, but essentially kind of all the standard MDM, mobile device management capabilities, exist for you. You can have a remote wipe happen if someone tries to log into the device with an incorrect password, you know, 10 times in a row. You know, all kinds of great settings that provide you with, you know, the security that you need to allow secure data to be out there in the wild. And just one thing I think that's interesting to point out is I'm sure everyone's familiar with the event that happened with Sony. You know, if they were using Azure Rights Management, you know, combined with these other tools, we could actually have been able to see the movie The Interview in theaters instead of watching it on our Xbox Ones or on Netflix. Although I certainly enjoyed it watching it on my Xbox One, but, you know, I think having the option to have seen it in the theater would have been good. So, well-known and publicized breaches, you know, these tools can prevent those types of things from occurring. So when we talked about mobile and computer monitoring alerts, you can also manage the software updates like you can through System Center. You can set up the firewall policies. You can even provide remote assistance to users. So this is a screenshot of the account portal, and you actually have three portals in total. If you look in the upper right hand of the screen, you have the account portal, you have the admin console, and you have the company portal. The company portal is what people or your users will see on their mobile device, and that will have the available apps and featured apps that they can download if they're ones that you haven't pushed out. But the account portal is the where administrators go to kind of manage the subscription. You know, it's the assigned administrator role determines, you know, what details that users can view and manage in their account portal. Administrator also with the billing administrator role can manage all options under subscriptions. And you can actually kind of delegate some of these roles out. So the person who's dealing with the subscription is not necessarily the same person who's dealing with users and security groups. So that's all helpful when you kind of need to delegate out who can do what. And with the administrative console, this is where the service administrators manage. It's all the day-to-day tasks. This is where you can see alerts. You can generate reports from. You can use it to deploy software. You can manage the endpoint protection and the updates and configuration policies and all those wonderful things. So I just did, on the policy side, I just did a couple screenshots. So if you were going to create a new policy, one, you can create a bunch of policies, and then you can choose by groups which policies and to whom they're applied. And you can have groups based on users and devices and specific device types. And when you create a policy, you can break it down, if you expand any of these, into some specific default policies for these devices. So for instance, if I expand Android and iOS, you know, click on these, and then you have additional options around how you want things configured or enabled for those devices. So that's Android and iOS, and then I did a screenshot below that of Windows and software in general. And in the actual policy side, again with passwords, because there are differences between how Android deals with passwords and iOS deals with passwords, you have access to controlling or setting up requirements for all of that, as well as password qualities, minutes of inactivity, expiration. You know, again, if a device is jailbroken, or if someone tries to log in with a incorrect password X number of times in a row, automatically do a remote wipe and things like that. And lastly, just on the report side, all kinds of reports you can create. You can do on-demand report creation, and you can actually have automated reports. Lots of options there, so you can fully understand what's going on in your environment with the devices and PCs. And altogether, with Azure Active Directory Premium, with Azure Rights Management, and with Intune, you have a solution which gives you the tools necessary to feel comfortable in allowing employees and board members for using their own personal devices, no matter what platform they are, and using them from anywhere and having access to company data and company apps and not being worried about sensitive information getting out to the wrong people. So with that, I'd like to open up to questions. And Justin, I think, has been collecting questions while I've been going through this, and we'll try to answer as many as we can now. And if we don't get to them, we will we'll definitely follow up with the response. All right. So so Justin just typed over one question for me right now. And in the meantime, Justin, are you able? We created a quick survey in SurveyMonkey. It's completely anonymous. If anyone wants to participate in that, we definitely appreciate it. And so one question we have is, can company-specific data, documents, emails, accounts, contacts, be removed from a smartphone device without having a completely wipe the device? So the answer is yes, and that's one of the great things. You can just wipe that company partition on the individual's device, and it leaves all of their personal stuff, their contacts, their pics, everything else alone. It only wipes what's in that secure company partition. And so another question we have is, needing a way to remotely wipe only company-related content without removing any personal content. And yes, so absolutely. And that's one of the great benefits of the EMS solution as a whole. Another question we have is, can I restrict users from getting work email on the integrated iOS mail client and only access through the Outlook client controlled by the company? You know what? I'm actually pretty sure you can put up those kinds of restrictions, and I think that falls into what they call conditional access. But keep in mind, when people send email outside of your organization, or even you can have policies that stay with that content, no matter what device they're on. So there's probably two different ways to handle that, at least, you know, with that question. There's always more details, and there's always more, I think, options and controls available to you. Support for Windows Phone 10. So of course, as a Microsoft product, you know, all these tools that we've talked about will be supported with Windows 10 with the general availability. Okay, so another question we have is Essentials version 2012 and many smaller organizations not fully trusting the cloud. Are there any demo templates in IT pros to figure out how they might be able to use this? They say service 500 small local businesses, 50 smaller local businesses. Oh, okay. So, yeah, great question. And a couple different answers for that. Right now, if you want EMS, you buy it through, through a volume licensing partner. I believe they will be coming out soon with a SMB version, which you can use to buy it in smaller quantities. Right. Oh, and okay. So complicated with seems a little complex around policies and processes. And yes, and that's one of the interesting things is by default when you create it, it's all set up for you, and it creates two default policies for you. And, you know, in some cases, you can just stick with those two default policies. But as you use it more and become more comfortable with it on your own, you'll start probably creating more refined policies. So that's why I referred to at one point kind of the rights management kind of as a – it takes on a life of its own. It all depends on how much you want to use it and how much – you want to start making it more and more specific to your organization. So a question we have is not understanding the real benefits of adding System Center SCCM to Intune. And so if your organization uses System Center and you still want to keep on using that as the one interface, you can do the Intune connector to System Center. And Intune still exists. It's like a portal piece that the device data gets sent through to System Center. So it's really if you want to continue using System Center as the portal for managing all of this. You can also use them separately. And there's in TechNet, there's actually a great page that outlines the differences, the pros and cons of using them by themselves, and if you do a hybrid where you connect the two. So one of the questions, is there a migration tool for those who've implemented authorization services? That I'd have to get back with you on. I'm not able to answer that question right now. And then one thing, Justin, I don't know if you were able to, but we did put together, it's an anonymous survey. It's just going over your current security policies. If you can take the moment to fill that out, that'd be greatly appreciated. And we're going to post all the results of that up in the near future. Another question we got, are there migration tools for those who have implemented authorization service? Oh, sorry. Follow-up, remotely wipe only company-related content. Can this be done using just standalone Intune? Yes. So using standalone Intune, you can just do the remote wipe on the company partition only. So Intune, the Intune connector is if you want, so the question was, can I use Intune connector for Windows servers? And I'm also getting notice that we have to wrap up because the next presenters are ready. But the Windows Intune connector is for connecting it to System Center. Right now, Intune does not support servers or Linux. If you need to support servers and Linux, you would still use System Center for that. All right, well, that's all the time. So thank you, everyone, very much for